But please come out to SWAT Soul Winning Ministry this Saturday. It's going to be a good time. If you would, turn your Bibles tonight to Psalm chapter 78. Psalm 78. And if you're able to, would you stand for the reading of the Word of God? Psalm chapter 78, verses 12 through 20. Psalm 78, verse 12 through 20. And I turned the lapel mic on tonight, so we're good. I've already done that twice since I've been here that I forgot to turn it on, but we're good tonight. Psalm chapter 78, verse 12 through 20. The Bible says in Psalm 78, verse 12, "Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. And he divided the sea and caused them to pass through. And he made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people?" Tonight I want to give you a message entitled, "Can God?" Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the night you've given to us. Lord, we're so thankful and grateful for the opportunity to come to your house and to sing our praises, to give our prayer requests, to pray to you and to learn more about you and your word. And Father, tonight I pray that as we open your book, that everything that is said will be honoring and glorifying to you. Lord, I thank you for the ones who were able to come tonight, who made the choice to come tonight. Father, I pray that you'll bless them, and I pray that if there's someone here tonight that is lost and on their way to hell, I pray that they would see their need for you. And tonight I pray that if there's someone that may be gone astray from your will for their life, that they would come back to you, and I pray that they would not be asking this question of can God, but they know that you can. Father, tonight I pray that you'll be with us as we, in this time, everything they would say is honoring and glorifying to you. Be with those who couldn't be here tonight. You know the reason why. Bring them back to us the next point in time. We ask these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We say we want to serve the Lord and to know His will. And then when He tells us what He wants us to do, we often back off of what He wants us to do. This is what Israel's problem is here. They are called out of Egypt to follow the Lord by faith. However, they seem to constantly doubt the power and the promises and the presence of God Almighty as they had traveled. The entire attitude in their hearts is summed up by a two-word question that they voiced, "Can God?" You see it in this passage a couple of times where they say, "Can He or can God do this?" And this evening I realized that we are a lot like Israel. We are a people that we ask God, can He do this? Can He do that? And we ask this question, can God? And when we ask that question, we are doubting everything about the Lord. And we need to, and you see, when they ask this question, can God? I'd like to tell you tonight and show you from the scripture that God can. And the God we serve is still a Lord of glory. He's still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's still able to do all things as He's always been able to do. You may be sitting here asking tonight, can God help me do this? Can God help me meet my needs? Can God take my burdens away? I want to show you tonight that God can. And I want you to notice these truths from this passage tonight. I see, first of all, the condition of the people of Israel. The condition of the people of Israel. We are told in verse 20 and in verse 41 that they were a faithless people. Look at verse 20 of our passage. It was the final verse of our what we read. "Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people?" Now, if you'll jump down to verse number 41, it says, "Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel." Here was a people who called themselves God by God's name. Here was a people that should have trusted the Lord without reservation. They should not have even thought a second thought about it. They should have trusted Him instantly. Yet they seemed oblivious to the power of God in their midst. Isn't that a lot like the people of Israel today? Aren't we a lot like those people? Instead of trusting God and living by faith, we worry and we fret. Folks, tonight I want to tell you that it doesn't have to be that way. I want to tell you tonight that we have a God in whom that we can trust without hesitation, without fear. And I want us to resolve to be like Him. And when Jesus challenged Thomas in John chapter 20, verse 27, not faithless, but believing. You see, they were a faithless people, and I fear that a lot of people today, and even in some churches, there are people that are faithless. You say, well, I believe in God. I got saved, Brother Matthew. I know I'm saved. And that's praise the Lord that you're saved, but sometimes we limit God when we don't think that He can do things for us. You know what we're doing? Our faith is not there. We don't have faith in the Lord that He can overcome every obstacle in our life. We limit Him. We put God in a box, so to speak. We limit Him down to this little thing when you say, well, God can't really do that. And when we ask that question, can God do this? We're limiting His power in our lives. There's a faithless people here. I want you to notice they were forgetful. You know, the nation of Israel seemed to be unable to remember all the great things that God had done in their lives. I mean, God brought them out of captivity of Egypt. That alone should have just let them know that God was there with them. God was going to do anything. God parted the Red Sea for them. Can you imagine seeing that? Walking on dry ground and seeing the ocean on both sides of your thing, on both sides of you. Wouldn't you think that if God can do that, He could help them in whatever situation they would come through? And can I tell you tonight that the same God who took the Israel out of the captivity of Egypt, the same God who parted the Red Seas and that they walked on dry ground, is the same God that can meet your needs tonight. And I'm so grateful that He is a God who never changes. He never goes back on His promises. He doesn't forget you. But see, they may have been a forgetful people. They may have forgotten all the miracles that God had done for them, and they were forgetful of His mighty power that they all witnessed. But again, this describes us. How many times has God come through for you in your lives? I've seen God do many things in my life, and I know I'm only 27 years old, but I know God has done things in my life that just floor me, that I did not think could be possible. And I believe that if God can do those past things in my life, He can still do things today. I believe if God can it may seem like it is impossible in your life. You may be going through something that it may seem that you can't do it. And you're right, you can't get through whatever is in your life. But if you put your faith and trust in God, that He'll get you through whatever it is that you're going through, He's going to help you through it. And you say, can God really help me with this? Can God help me get out of my financial struggle? Can God help me get through whatever you can insert in there? God can. God can get you through that. Here's the hard part. We need to trust Him. You know, trust is a hard thing.
That's right.
Trust is a thing that is very hard to come by, especially in these days. You know, a lot of time, it's hard to trust people even in today's age, but I find it now that people are finding it harder to trust in God than they do in people these days. Isn't it sad that you can trust doctors and lawyers, but you can't trust the God who created you? Isn't it sad that people do that today? It's sad that we put our faith and trust in politicians. By the way, election day is coming up. Can I tell you, a lot of those politicians lie to you. They make empty promises. They won't fulfill what they set out to do. But I'm so thankful we serve a God that never breaks His promises.
Amen.
That never goes back on His word. He always keeps His promises, and everything that He says will come to pass. But again, we get forgetful. We forget those things, which what happened before us and what He brought us through. But these people, they were forgetful. They were also foolish. By asking, can God, they prove their ignorance of His power and of His person. The same scene is played out many times during the course of Israel's wilderness wanderings, and even after they arrived to the land of Canaan. One time that comes to mind is when the 12 spies were sent to Canaan. While there, they encountered those people that were called those people there, they were giants. And when the 10 faithless spies saw the giants, they looked at them, and when they looked at themselves, they compared themselves to them as grasshoppers. That's in Numbers chapter 13, by the way, if you want to reference that. Numbers 13, 33. But this same foolishness has followed the church to this very day. We are guilty of the same foolish comparison. Some problem will arise in your life, even in the church, whatever it may be. The first thing we say is, can God help us through this? It may take in some form. But it's still the same. Our doubts say, can God? He already has many times before. This was a condition of the people, and I'm afraid tonight that it mirrors the same kind of attitude in our lives tonight. And I want you to know that it does not have to be like that in our lives. We can trust the Lord. We can know that He will demonstrate His power to our lives. One way that we can know is by having an understanding of the character of God. And that leads me into number two. Not only do I see the condition of the people here, I see the character of their God. Look in verse 5 and 7 of Psalm chapter 78. Psalm chapter 78, verse 5 and 7. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. I notice His promises here. Israel had seen God keep His word time after time after time again. And He was always faithful to do what He promises to do. And God still hasn't changed today. Somewhat as He was thousands of years ago, He's still the same God tonight. He's still the God who keeps His word. Everything He's promised, everything He will do. There are some verses in the Bible that bear this out. Romans 4:21, Hebrews 6:18, Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, Titus 1, verse 2, and many more that could say that God keeps His promises. And if God, you can be sure that God is able to keep His promises. You see these television ads that promise you some things, they're not going to promise you the right things. It may promise you that if you see these alcoholic commercials, they may present some good-looking things, but they can promise you some things, but they're empty promises. Because when at the end of the day, you're going to end up like those people out on the street who are drunk and done and homeless. Those people, they show you the good part of it or what they think is going to happen, but they don't show you the end result. But we serve a God who can show you exactly what He promises and is exactly what He says. And I'm thankful tonight that it's the same promises that are given to you and me. He's good at keeping His promises. I see His performance here in verse number 4 and in verse number 12. The Bible says in verse number 4 of Psalm 78, we will not hide them from their children, so showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. Looking down in verse number 12, marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. You see His performance here throughout their history. Israel had enjoyed the presence and the power of Almighty God. Time and again, God demonstrated His power in the midst of His people. Imagine seeing Him. Imagine that scene when you come to the Red Sea. You remember the setting where the Israelites were running from the Egyptians and they were going to cross the Red Sea. They're sitting there at the mouth of the Red Sea and there's no way around it. You think, how in the world is God going to get us through this? You got Egyptians coming from the back of you. You got nowhere to go but forward. How is God going to do this? By the way, Moses didn't do it. Now, Moses was the one that one in the Red Sea put his rod in and the part. But look, God did the parting of the Red Sea. God just used Moses to do something. And I'm thankful that he used Moses, because you know what that shows? That shows that not only if he can use Moses, he can use me. He can use you. See, Moses was just an ordinary person. And he's and just like us, we're ordinary people. But God can use people. And can I say tonight that that God showed them? Imagine just sitting there when those walls of the Red Sea went up, when manna dropped from heaven, when every day for 40 years, imagine seeing God defeat all your enemies around you. Imagine the thrill of seeing his glory as he came down upon the tabernacle. Imagine the pillar of cloud and fire. God had proven himself time and time again to his people. And yet, they still doubted him. You know, if those people of Israel doubted God and they saw what he did, how much more will people today doubt him? How much more will people ask the question, can God do this? Tonight, I say the Lord hasn't changed in this area either. He's still coming through for his people. If you look back over the years and remember the times the Lord has displayed his power in your life, his power and what he's done for you, hasn't he parted those waters for you? Has he been responsible for those things? It dropped manna, so to speak. Maybe not physically, but he's provided for you.
Amen.
You know, I'm so thankful that tonight I get to go home and I have a pantry of food.
Yeah. Come on.
You know, that may not be holy manna from above, but look, it's God's providence.
Yeah, that's right.
If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have anything tonight.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't be here tonight. But I'm so thankful and so grateful that he shows mercy upon me and gives me those things. And we ought to be thankful for them. I want you to notice not only his performance, his promises, but his power here in verse 4. Throughout their history, God had proven that he was stronger than every obstacle they faced. He was more powerful than Egypt. He was more powerful than the Amalekites. He had proven that he was greater than the thirst and their hunger. He was able to overcome everything they faced by his great power. Tonight, God is still all-powerful. He is an omniscient power of God, has not and never will change. He's all-powerful and he will remain that way until the unending eternity. And I just want to remind us tonight that God possesses all the power in heaven and in earth. And I also see his patience here. In verse 38, look at verse 38. We didn't read it, but I want you to look at it. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath. You imagine that verse? That's a powerful verse right there. I love that verse. He could have destroyed Israel. As much as they were going against him, he should have. But God, it says, but he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity. Aren't you thankful that God didn't give up on you? Aren't you thankful that the time and time again that Israel continued to question God, to continue to sin against God, that he forgave them? And aren't you thankful tonight that he is still the God that forgives you regardless when you turn from him, regardless of how many times you turn from them, he's still there for you to forgive you. I'm so thankful that he doesn't give his wrath upon me, but that he forgives me. Now, does that mean that we're going to go unpunished? Absolutely not. God's going to chasten us. God's going to try to get us to come back to him. He's not going to force us, but he's going to try. There are going to be consequences for our actions. But I'm so thankful for his patience, that patience, that we serve a patient God. Because truth be told, we should all be in hell tonight. But I'm so thankful that he gives us that patience and that he loves us so much. All I'm saying tonight is that we can trust God for everything in our lives. We have God who has demonstrated his power, his grace, his love, and his character many times over to us. Number 3 tonight, the condition of the people, the character of God, the challenge for today. Look in verses 6 through 8 of our scripture. Psalm 78, verse 6 through 8, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who would arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. When we look at Israel's history and the way God proved himself to them, then when we consider how he has proven himself in our lives, we can look at his power and his ability. What are we to do with this? These verses tell us that there's no uncertain terms what the Lord expects from us in relation to these truths. But I want you to see three challenges that I can pull from here. That we need to have confidence in God. And confidence, what it means, we need to trust. We need to trust God. Mark 11:22, Psalm 62, verse 8, John 14, verse 1. These verses teach us that we are to trust in God for all our needs and in every situation. Just for sake of one, let's go to John chapter 14, verse number 1. John 14, verse 1. You know this scripture reference. John 14, verse 1. And I love this words because this is the words that Jesus said. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. You know what we need to do? We need to trust the Lord. Trust him that he says that he's gonna. We're gonna have confidence in him. When the words come in our heads and we think, "Can God do this?" We who believe the Bible should stand out and say that God can. We must be ready to answer that God can. This is always the way that it was throughout the Bible, and it still is today. Daniel in the lion's den. You think of King Darius, who spends the night wondering if God can save Daniel from those den of lions. Daniel enjoys the Lord's peace and rests well knowing that God can. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar stood with a smirk on his face as he sentenced these three boys into the fiery furnace, and he asked, "Can God do this?" These boys came out of that fiery furnace with no smell of smoke on their whole entire bodies, and said that God can. The disciples on the ship where they were in the midst of the storm and thought they were going to die, and they were questioning, "Can God?" But we see that in the fourth watch of the night that Jesus came walking on the waves, displaying all the power, and said that I can. God can. I remember that day that I stood condemned to die. I remember that day where I should have died and gone to hell. But I remember that when I said, "Can God save my soul?" God said, "I can." God saved my soul that night on March 29th of 2008, and I've never been the same again. You may not know the day, you may not know the hour, you may not know the place, you may not know what you prayed, but if you said, "Can God save my soul?" and you remember that time, God saved your soul. God can save your soul, amen. And you may be here tonight, and you say, "Well, Brother Matthew, you don't know what I've done. I've done so many bad things. I don't think God can save my soul." You know, I'm so thankful that the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. And that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. You know what that means? That means all. All means all. That's pretty hard, isn't it? But all means all. We all have sinned. There's none righteous, no, not one. But I'm thankful that whoever would come to him shall be saved. You may be here tonight and saying that same question. Not just in salvation, but you may be asking that question, "Can God?" You can finish the sentence wherever you may like. Can God meet my need? Can God use my life? Can God save me? There are many people who fail to trust the Lord and fail to remember that God can. As a result, they live their lives defeated and discouraged. But I can tell you tonight that it doesn't have to be that way. I want us to tonight to come to the Lord and to know that Whenever you have a question if God can really do things, if God can really help you, I want to put your minds at ease that God can. Here's the real problem that people have, though. They choose not to come. God's not going to force himself upon you, but you know, there are people that say that God will force himself. He won't do that. It's an open invitation for whosoever will may come. And can I tell you tonight, that's not just for salvation, because it is for salvation, but there is for whosoever to come. Like, he won't turn anybody away. Aren't you thankful that he won't turn anybody away?
Right.
You know, when he was sitting there dying on the cross for our sins, he saved the thief on the side of him. He said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." A thief that was dying and should have been placed on the cross, he saved them. He saved him. Can I tell you tonight, he could save you. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that he didn't think that I deserve to go to hell. Because can I tell you, we all do deserve to be in hell tonight. But I'm so thankful that Jesus came down 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary to pay the ultimate price so that I wouldn't have to go if I put my faith and trust in him. Tonight you may be in that situation. You don't know where you would spend eternity when you pass from this life. Can I tell you, tonight is the night and the day is the day for salvation. Don't ever think that, well, I can just put it off for tomorrow. Bible says, no man knoweth. We don't know. We're not promised tomorrow.
Right.
We don't know what's going to happen 5 minutes after we dismiss service. But I do know this, that Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
And that we need to prepare. I can't, you know, I'm ready to go. I'm excited. You know, I always said before I got married that I wanted to get married and then I wanted to go. And that's selfish reasons. But you know, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go meet my Savior who formed me, who made me, who loves me, and who saved me. And tonight, I ask you, if you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you can do so tonight. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what lifestyle you come from. He'll save you if you ask him. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you for the night you've given to us.